because it's a common truck. Four-wheel drives are built, so.
Takes about a year just before the upfitter will even see the truck if you go with a four-wheel drive, so it's about a year and a half out before your truck today.
So we need to get going because we've had enough troubles with these trucks. And it's the other trucks, it's the computer problems. So, okay, well, I guess we'll keep moving along on that. Hopefully we'll have something that we can report on next meeting then. I'm done for now. I mean, there's more down below, but.
You're done.
I'm done for now until we get to open meeting and LEMP.
I've got two things in the highway. Just a quick update. Sure. So just so everybody knows, I sent the board this, but I signed off on all the final paperwork yesterday, met with FEMA and the state. So we closed out everything for 4330 with FEMA. The handoff is complete. We will execute two subcontracts with the state of Vermont to get our money back whenever we get it, Neil. That's pretty much it for that disaster. So we now it's just kind of waiting to sign the contracts and then waiting to get the money. So that's done. But just so everybody knows, I didn't delete that. I just deleted the number. But basically, we're going to see 75% share of around $52,000 from FEMA, and then a 12.5% share of that same $52,000 from the state. So that's going to be what we get back total whenever we get it.
What is the total amount?
The total amount is $52,000. Hang on a second. $52,127.44, and we will get all of the FEMA share at 75%, and the state has confirmed 12.5%. So that's done. And then a quick follow-up from our last meeting is, Frank, do you want to try and get together sometime soon and go over the time clock system and try and...
We just got to turn it off.
Turn it off?
Yep. Yeah, we're not using it.
You're not going to use it.
No, I met with the guys after our last meeting, and we've had lots of problems. And quite honestly, it doesn't correlate with the guys are keeping track of their time. It's two different systems. So there's a time clock system, okay. And we're not utilizing it. It doesn't translate over into our matrix that we use to keep track of the time, and so that we've had, the guys have fingerprint issues, some of them, and they're just they're not logging in, and it was a good intention, but I discussed with the guys, and we all agreed that we'll just. So I guess I meant to talk to you about whether or not you kind of were the administrator, so if you can shut that.
I can shut it down. We should, since this is going to end a contract that we have, we should vote on the board and make it official, and then I can cancel the subscription.
Okay.
So is that a motion? Perfect.
You want to make
I move that we cancel our time clock subscription with U10, effective as soon as Scott can do it. It's been unplugged, and I don't know if they know whether or not your system gets unplugged, so they can certainly confirm that.
Yeah.
I need a second.
Second.
All those in favor of discontinuance use of the time clock, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Time clock is done.
Good.
Any more road commissioner update? Or have we made it?
I'm going to talk again under... I inadvertently did the TA-60 ahead of time. So the only time I'll talk again is springtime summer maintenance, paving funds. I don't know what that's quite about, but LaFlamme and financial statements discussion. I don't know what that entails, but I certainly have come prepared with a highway synopsis. But at least under my road commissioner thing.
So, okay.
We're done.
Okay, so business items for possible vote, open meeting law complaint, Scott?
Yeah, so I'm happy to go ahead and withdraw it. I would like to, which I will do right now. The conversation, I'd like to turn it around and have those. One about trying to up our game, so to speak, and get back on track and make a committed effort all around, all of us, to do a better job. You know, whatever the reasons, we've been, in my estimate, kind of slacking as of late. And so I think we need to get back on the stick. And I think it'd be good to also have Secretary Kondos come, as he's offered, and not just open meeting, but also public records. I think it'd be beneficial for everybody here that, and it wouldn't just be the select board. We could open it up to the public and to other parts of town government. So
yeah, because like I think it'd be good for Becky to be here.
Sure.
And you know, maybe even Ellen and stuff. So.
Right.
So because I'd like some clarification on that, so that'd be great. Would we have that as a special meeting, do you think?
Probably. Yeah, I guess. So that's, you know, that's what I'd like to do. And I don't know whether we need a motion to have the secretary come or not.
I don't think we need a motion. I do think we need, though, from you, a letter withdrawing
the
complaint.
No problem.
So that we've covered our bases and that won't come back to haunt us that we didn't respond in the appropriate length of time.
Sure, no problem.
So that would be great if you're willing to do that. Do you want to schedule something with Kondos or maybe?
Yeah, I'll call Secretary Kondos and get it set up. And I think we also should talk about how what we're going to do to get back on the stick, whether who needs to do what, whether we need to people need to do different things. But we're not, you know, Becky emailed us this afternoon and we're missing some minutes. So
well, I did get a very rough draft of those minutes. I don't know whether John, you ever got those minutes to post. Did she include that in the stuff she asked you to post?
Not that I'm aware of, unless I missed an email, but that's possible. But
did she ask you to post the stuff?
She asked. I did find an email sometime on Monday that she asked me to post the
and
agenda
all,
for
did
Wednesday.
All those,
that we
did
were
all those documents
to
come through?
I didn't
that
see
were with
them,
it. Anyway, I think that's a conversation that we need to have. Certainly in this particular instance, the posting on the website fell through the cracks, and that was because that was that project was delegated to someone that was new in the position, and I had explained the time constraints, and obviously there was miscommunication or whatever, and we need to deal with that. The intent was there to get everything posted
yes.
at the appropriate time.
She did send me an email asking me to post, which I didn't get till sometime on Tuesday.
Unfortunately, John
7:30
was busy
on Monday, and it was my understanding that she did ask Becky to post it, which Becky said that she couldn't post it because she didn't know how to post it or something like that, because it had been where we had been posting had been changed. I had been posting in what I would call, I'm not a website editor, but common, what you write is what you get, to changing it to code, which when I did post it, it took me an hour and a half to figure out, because I hadn't written HTML code since high school, how to get it on there, which I did finally figure out, get it to show up.
But
there was a magnitude of problems that led to the problem, but none of which are good excuses for it not happening. But
I do think that we need to decide where it needs to be posted. The three locations is fine, and the listserv is fine. But as far as, does it need to be on both websites? Does it need to be on just one? Which one do we wish to use? It's my understanding that it gets put on the select board website. Becky said she could put it on the general front page, but she could not get into the select board website to post. Now that's what she told me when I went to inquire as to what had transpired and why it hadn't gotten where it should have gotten, when it should have gotten.
I think it was more of a, she wasn't familiar with how to post it on the select board.
Well, that could be as well. So I think that has to be some kind of an internal discussion here, so that we can get it where it needs to be when it needs to be there. I think the intent at this meeting that was supposed to be held on Wednesday was to have it in the appropriate place at the appropriate time frame. The intent was there. It certainly did not happen. And I think we need to somehow come to some kind of an agreement as to where it needs to be, when it needs to be there, and then how we're going to get it there. And that may be a discussion that we also, when we get down to employee reviews, perhaps we need to figure out whether those things can happen. But with those parameters need to be finalized and understood easily by all.
So yeah, I mean, it should be pretty straightforward, right? We should carry on what we've done for, you know, I don't know, we go back to 2014, all on the select board page, and that's where we've always posted minutes and agendas and notices and so forth.
Yeah.
So we should keep putting it there.
Emily, we've got a former person.
Anything I can do to help.
Okay.
Because, I mean, amazing that I'm offering help, because I didn't always do such a great job myself. But I'm all these to help because I had a system that I did, and I could certainly help, whether it's...
Well, I think John might like some
okay.
pointers as to...
Well, I've got the...
You've got it down now.
Now.
Oh, you figured it out? Okay. Well, any help that you... I mean, I strongly feel that this is not something that the board should be... You really need somebody. I know that's the goal, and you're trying to do that. And I didn't force the issue and ought to have when I was doing it. But, you know, you shouldn't be... This is a waste of your time, folks, to have to be dealing with it. Yet it's really important. So if you
well,
do...
it has to get done. I feel it has to get done.
No, it does. But if you...
get done correctly.
But just call me if you want some help. I'm pleased to help anytime. That's all I'm trying to say.
That sounds great.
So,
didn't I read in former minutes that you guys had offered the job to Cynthia Hewitt?
Yes, and she took the job, and she was given all the information to write the agendas. The agenda was given to her. Everything was given to her on the Friday before it needed to be posted on Monday evening. And I did not realize until late Monday afternoon that indeed did not occur. I wrote the notice, I wrote the agenda up, I put it on the listserv, I could not post it on the website. I asked her what had happened or did she need help, and I got no response until Tuesday, mid-morning. That obviously was too late.
Okay, well,
and so
you guys have hired Cynthia.
Yes, and we're going to have she told us when we hired her that she had a previous vacation scheduled for California, so she's gone. So when this all transpired, she had already left.
Okay.
So
it's going to get straightened out because you're going to
have to... We're going to get it straightened out, but it's hard to straighten it out with someone in California. So we'll get there. We need to do some work.
But you guys have hired a clerk, though.
We have.
Okay.
Anything else on this one? Do you want anything more, Scott? Or
no, I just... I want to try and position this so that we're... being proactive about getting better at it.
Yep.
Neil?
I think it would be helpful, what exactly needs to go on the web page and what are the due dates for that?
So if it's 48 hours prior, it needs to be warned and an agenda posted. That's correct, right, Scott?
Yeah, the agenda. So a notice is not required for regular meetings because it's a standard notice that's part of our rules of procedure. So special meetings require a notice. Both meetings require an agenda. The agenda for a regular meeting needs to be posted 48 hours, special meeting 24 hours. Minutes need to be available for inspection and posted to the website within 5 days after the meeting.
Five calendar days.
Five calendar days, correct. That those are the basics.
The listserv is just an extra thing.
The listserv really...
But it's useful because a lot
The listserv is useful, but in terms of compliance, the listserv means nothing.
Anyone else? Anybody on the board?
Yep, sounds good.
Paving funds. Excuse me. Yeah. No, excuse me.
LEMP.
LEMP. I did not see that from Kevin, and I fell through the cracks on that. I spoke with him about it in the middle of last week, and he thought he would have it ready for Wednesday's meeting. I did reach out to him and say that the meeting on Wednesday had been canceled, and I did not seek out that limp, but I will do that before the next meeting, and we will put it on the agenda. Thank you, Scott, for sending that. I will send that on to... send that on to Kevin on that list, and we'll try and get hold of the rest of those people, the two unable to. I could even go see Mrs. Semple. She lives right next door to my mother's house, so that wouldn't be difficult. And so the limp we should put off until the next meeting. But I understand from Kevin that it's almost done.
Okay. Great.
We did the TA 60.
Other than the fact I don't actually have it.
Okay, where did it go?
I just
want to get it in my folder so that... Oh, okay. Sorry.
Be sure you sign it as well. Disposition of maturing, bridge reserve fund CD. This is one that Ellen spoke to me about 2 weeks ago. It is... due the 19th of May, and it's $75,679.15. And assuming that we are going to use that money for the Cloudland Bridge, do we want her to let that mature and just stay in the general fund?
Okay.
Or do you want to go for a 1 month renewal or?
Actually, what I'd like to do, and this I was going to talk about in the budget part, one of the reasons our budget looks terrible is because we put, I don't know, maybe we should take this up just so you can see what I'm talking about. If you get out the budget thing and look at line 136. And I took Neil's suggestion and put line numbers beside the lines, which I'll give him full credit for, thinking it up anyway. If you go to line 136, you'll see that under special projects and grants, we're in the hole by 20,000 and change. We're in the hole. So that reflects against the fact that we're behind on our budget. I talked to Ellen today, and if you go up to line 129, which is the Cloudland Culvert Engineering, you should have said, that's what we've paid for engineering, and I think that's the maximum we agreed to pay. And so what I would suggest, because this is maturing pretty soon, is to have Ellen transfer $14,790.04 into the highway budget, and what she'll do is she'll put that in on the revenue side. $14,790.04 is the exact amount, and so that kind of helps us. That because we show the culvert engineering as an expense. If Ellen can put that money in, which she will eventually anyway, if she puts that money in there, then it just boosts our revenue and then makes our bottom line look better.
Yeah, except that money, that $14,790, should that have come out of the bridge reserve to pay in the first place? I mean, it at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, but we should show some sort of accounting transaction showing the expenditure out of that reserve fund. Which I guess she's going to do, right?
Right, yeah. Because she'll refer...
There just needs to be an annotation or something that says what that's for, just so it's not like a transfer. Just so when the reports are done, it doesn't look like some sort of straight transfer that is tied to an actual project. You know, like
right. Spend it on.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I can talk to her about that. I'm sure, I know she put notes in the thing, so.
Technically, from what V-Trans told you, that grant would be increased to cover that engineering.
Well, but the truth of the matter is we're going to have to pay for the bridge before the state pays us. So we're going to have to cover, it's the same difference.
I understand that, yeah. But and I don't, it may be that you will use some of that bridge money for this transaction, but there's no real reason to necessarily just make that transfer now, just to make it look better. Depending on when they are able to do the bridge, we may be able to do all of this and make one transfer. It would appear as though we're going to need more than just the $75,000 in that 19 May CD, yep, in order to get the bridge paid for.
Right. And just noting down below, there are two highway bridge.
There's another highway bridge one or two.
In June. Yeah. So technically, we've got the money to cover it, which we probably will do. And then, I mean, it's just semantics. That's all. I guess what I'm getting at is when you look at line 136, you got to keep in mind that we are not 20,000 in the hole because we're the say 15,000 for the engineering isn't like we overspent our budget. It's just a line item.
We got to figure out a way to show that or reconcile all that.
Yeah.
But the bottom line here, the decision that I'm looking for, that Ellen was looking for, is does she reinvest the CD or does she not? And my thought would be she does not. Or if she does, she only reinvests it for 30 days, tops 60 days. Because we're going to have to pay for the bridge.
So one question I have is, because I recall a conversation we had a while ago about whether we incur any fees if we take money out of the CD or terminate it before its maturity date. Do we pay a penalty? Because if we don't, to me it makes sense just to leave the money in the CD until the moment we need it, and then basically, as we're close to needing it, we can pull it out of that CD. But if we're gonna have, if we have to pay a fee for doing that, that wouldn't be good either.
When I spoke to Ellen about this on the finance committee, she says that Mascola Bank does not usually charge a fee if right. we have to pull it out early. Right. She said the others may.
Right.
The bottom line is that she takes all of this excess money and it goes into a sweep account anyway. Mm-hmm. I do not know exactly, and nor does this paper tell us, what the interest rate is on that one-year CD, but my guess is we're probably getting almost as much in a sweep account, because interest rates are so low anyway.
So
I'll bet that CD is, if that's giving us 2%, I would be surprised.
When you say sweep account, is that just some sort of cash bank account?
What happens is she has that general fund in there.
Right.
And they sweep almost all of that money out
right.
into an interest-bearing account mm-hmm. until she needs to use it. Mm-hmm. So that when all her tax money comes in and she's got $3 million in there, then that isn't just sitting there doing nothing. Most of that is swept into an interest-bearing instrument.
I mean, I understand why we have so many different CDs, because it's like little boxes to put the money in so that it's visible as to what it's for. I get that. But it might be worth a conversation when the finance committee gets back together again to talk about whether that makes, how much sense that makes. Why not consolidate some of these CDs, or as you're talking about, just put it all into a sweep account, something so that, because every time we have you know, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different CDs here, and every time this comes up on maturity, it creates one of these conversations.
There's also another thing that Ellen is doing here. If you notice, not all of these CDs are in the same bank.
Right.
And there's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
She spreads all that money around so that all of it is covered by FDIC.
I'm not familiar with that. What does that mean exactly?
It's insured.
Aren't they all insured?
Only if she keeps it under $200,000 in each bank.
Oh, okay.
So she has all these things in various places so that she has all of that money under the threshold where it is no longer insured.
Insured from... Yeah, I know...
From a bank failing.
Yeah, okay. Insured from like... well, it's not worth it. Okay. All right.
In other words, so that if something happens... The money is insured. It's there. We can get it. It's not going to be, if a bank fails, it's not going to be gone.
Okay.
That being said, I really need to know what to tell Ellen to do with this CD. So I need a motion to either reinvest for a short length of time, or just let it mature and then put it in the general fund so that we can use it, or the highway fund, so that we can use it to pay for this bridge replacement that we're going to try and do.
Either way, we'll have to vote to take money out because that's out of a reserve fund.
Yeah, it'll still be in a reserve. I mean, it might be in one account, but it's still in a separate fund.
Right.
Yeah. Because the other question I have, it goes along with the same thing. The Labounty Fund is also...
6 May.
Yeah, is maturing. That's the word I was looking for. And we just signed check warrants tonight to take an additional $15,000 out, or, you know, pay out of the highway. And so I'm wondering whether or not we should take that money out of the, just backfill the highway for that land purchase, because that's showing up on highway. Again, it's just $15,000 that we're going to carry. So it's just a question of time, but we can wait and do it at the end of the year, because we may end up with lots of money. It's just a matter of when we want to transfer that.
It also seems to me that really the job for the board is to decide the timing of the expenditure out of the reserve. I mean, these questions around whether to roll over, it's all money management questions to me.
She needs authority. She wants to know whether we're going to use that money.
Right.
If she were to invest it in a one-year CD,
I understand.
Then unless we pay a penalty, we can't get it out. So what she's asking, are you going to use that in the next 2 or 3 months?
That's exactly what I'm getting at. And I think Neil has actually said this at various times in context of the annual budget, is if we have some sense of what our reserve expenditures are going to be in some sort of time horizon, what we're really talking about is the reserve expenditure. And then she can do whatever money management needs to happen on the back end. So I guess what I'm saying is that the decision for us is really not whether she should roll over a CD. The decision for us is when are we going to make the expenditure? Just kind of what you guys were saying.
Right.
So to me, that's really the question, is if what is the projected date of when we're going to make the expenditure for, you know, something out of the highway bridge reserve? And then from there, Ellen can decide what's appropriate in terms of CDs.
Well, that's fine. Would you make a motion to that effect then, as to when you think we're going to spend it? Because it's almost 9 o'clock, 8:30 now.
Sure.
And we've got a long way to go.
Yeah.
What, do you know, do we have a sense, Frank?
Of what?
Well, we know we're going to spend money for Labounty, right? We just did.
Labounty property is that we approved the warrant tonight. So
right.
It's been expended.
Right.
So we could certainly, you know, I don't know, just... we've expended both those. Also, the engineering has been expended. Mm-hmm. It's been expended for quite a while.
Yeah, the bridge project's ongoing with Labounty. It was budgeted to come out of the land was budgeted to come out of the Labounty fund.
Yep.
To me, it makes sense to take that out now so that we can spend the money, take it out, yep. then we're done with yep. that. The bridge is going to be an ongoing right. thing.
But that so we will need that bridge money within the next couple of months. There'll have to be a down payment as soon as we sign the contract. And they will expect, usually, I haven't seen the response to your RP, yep. but usually they get paid 10% when they sign, another 20%, another 20%, yep. and a final payment. So that we're going to be needing that. If they're going to get the job done this summer, they're going to be needing that money.
So I guess at least to chunk away, I move that we instruct Ellen to transfer $15,000 from the LeBounty Fund into the Highway Fund to cover the purchase of the LaFlamme property.
Second.
All those in favor?
Two. Do we want to? It matures on the 6th, so we don't want to go and withdraw it tomorrow.
Right. I'll add the caveat that she does it
at maturity.
At maturity.
And reinvest that seed.
And then reinvest the rest, right?
Reinvest the balance.
Yep.
Okay. All those in favor of that?
Aye.
Any opposed? Excellent.
All right. Who made the motion? Second.
I did.
Frank.
Who seconded it?
I was.
Let's pretend. Maybe I did. Regarding the that highway bridge that's coming on the 19th of May, we will have our contract opened by then, our RFPs opened by then.
Yep.
So unless you all feel comfortable telling her to not reinvest that right now, we can wait until the 1st of May meeting after we see when we need those payments.
Yeah, we can actually discuss all of them at the next meeting.
So let's not do that, and we'll give her that. We'll do that at the May meeting.
The other question I had is, are we going to take money out of the communications equipment reserve to pay for the highway repeater?
I heard nothing more from either Kevin or Phil Beckett regarding the repeater. And that doesn't come due until the 23rd of June. My feeling was that until we got an easement, we shouldn't be investing more money there.
Okay.
But if it's not coming due until the 23rd of June, we probably wouldn't do anything before then anyway, would we?
Probably not.
Is everybody happy with that?
Yep.
No comment? Good. Okay, we've gotten them through there. Spring and summer road maintenance.
Okay, I'll make that pretty easy. I've met with the guys. We've come up with an extensive list. I think it was last Friday. Since then, of course, we had the storm, and the storm has added significantly to the list. So the list is compiled for the kinds of things that we wanted to get done. Obviously, the storm has added to the list. I do not have a written list right now to give to everybody because we got that interruption this week. So I will we can put it on the list, and I have a scratched out version, but we're going to have to reevaluate because the storm now has pushed maintenance or some kinds of things out of the way, and I'm not sure how. In fact, we may have to discuss, getting contractors to help us get some of these things done, if that's the feeling.
I came down through the road from Galaxy Hill down to Demurrals.
Yep.
And I know you're overstretched, but that is really sunk bad. You need to put some hardback or something in there.
Yeah, because that turned.
Until we get that fixed.
Yeah, that turned into there's several culvert problems and there's a big turnout problem there and stuff. So I can add that to the list. The growing.
I hadn't noticed it before, but when I drove over it, I realized how deep it had gone.
Yeah, what happened is the storm there, which happens every time. The storm, the road becomes the riverbed because there's no way of getting ditches in there, ledge on both sides. But we can take a look at that. What else did I have? The list is coming, so we'll have to do that. For example, we figured at least a week of guys going around and pulling all the brush and trees and limbs out of the ditches and stuff and chipping them. And it may be that, for example, that may be one job where we just have to have a contractor do it. So what I'll do is I'll come up with a list. One of the things I've emphasized to the guys, days go by. I mean, we spend a week doing stuff that we wasn't on the list. So a week has just evaporated on us. We have not chunked away at anything on our list. So I'm afraid that we're going to run out of some. So we may have to do that.
Yeah.
I just had a question. Usually, while looking back at last summer, I know the crew was kind of depleted towards the end, but we had a guy in the roadside mower pretty much all summer long. Not much ditch work really happened. I drive along back roads all around all the time, and culverts are plugged, and not much of that stuff happened. So we're already kind of behind, and now we've got storm damage. What's that going to mean when we go put one of our three-man crew in the roadside mower for half a summer? Or something to look at, maybe subbing that out this year. We just don't have time to do that. We need to fix our roads.
You're echoing exactly my concerns.
Okay. So that is being looked into.
Yeah, because we worked.
Obviously, that list.
We worked on the list, and I looked at it, and I honestly don't think that the guys got time enough to do it. Because, for example, they got to reconstruct Rudge Road before the 30th of June to get our grant money, for example.
Right.
So, I mean, we've got a mountain of things to do. So, point well taken. Okay, that's all I have for summer or spring road maintenance.
Hey, Steve, this was your item.
Yeah, it was just a discussion as to whether or not that money could get moved to the paving reserve, so that
it doesn't look like
we're going to have that spent.
Well, we can't, because anytime we put money into the reserve, we have to get town approval. When we take it out, we have the authority to take it out. Neil?
Is there a statute for that?
There is.
Yeah.
I would be interested in having you give that to me.
Sure, no problem.
It does not make sense.
Okay.
It's a budget item, and so are the reserve accounts.
Yeah, but you can't
move money all the time.
You cannot move money. The select board does not have authority to move money out of the operating budget into a reserve fund.
They do not.
They do not.
That is for sure.
That is black letter law.
Yep.
All right. Please send me that statute.
Will do.
Okay, so we're done with paving funds. We'll find property update.
Okay, I think I mentioned it in the warrant section, but the purchase and sale agreement has been executed. The people have been paid the $500 deposit. Their attorneys have a warranty deed prepared, and our attorney has completed the title search. And so the closing will be on the 30th of April, and that's why I had Ellen cut a check so we could approve that tonight, which is one of the warrants that we did. So we'll close on the 30th, and everything's lined up. It's just a matter of the parties getting together and doing this stuff.
Okay. Brick building roof update. I spoke with Brother John, and he spoke with the roofer. The slate is ready to go. The roofer's had a difficult time a little bit. Both his mother passed away, and then his father took a downhill turn for the work. He hopes to be here in the first part of the June, and he hopes that it will stop raining and or snowing before he opens up the roof. And basically, he just doesn't want to open things up. It's going to take a while to get the slate off and on, and he doesn't want to open it up when it's but he has this on his agenda, and we will get there. But he did touch base with him, and that was the upshot of that. Any other questions on that? That's all I know anyway.
Yeah.
Not going to do any good to ask more. Fiscal 19 financial statements, expenditures to budget.
Okay, and so I wasn't sure about that, what that meant. I didn't work on the general fund. I don't know if anybody else did.
I think the general fund is doing pretty well. Scott put that on, and I think he thought, and I concurred, that we just need to, certainly we spent more money in the highway than we intended to, and I think we have to figure out, there may be some things that we don't need to do, and or that we don't need to spend money for that would help to offset that deficit. And if, especially if we've got a storm damage that's going to cost us more money, we ought to be thinking along those lines. For instance, I just here, we've got $20,000 for signs, snow fence and posts. It may be that we could put that off for a year and it wouldn't kill us. And there's some other things in there that we probably could find as well.
I think part of that sign budget is road signs.
Yep. Yep.
Which I think, personally, we've been kicking the can long enough on the road signs, and it's a safety issue for people. The road signs need to get put up. Yeah. Regardless.
Yeah, and I'm actually, that's one thing I didn't mention in my synopsis, is I actually have a complete list of road signs that need to be replaced. There's 73 of them, and it's just a matter of getting a quote. I have no idea how much they will cost. The other thing that I thought about is there are signs that are certainly sufficient. We don't have to spend the $200 for Bernard Road. Right now in Cherry Hill, and some of those that are just, they've got little, they're just, they are not up to the standard. I think what we really should concentrate is the blacktop, you know, that the people travel and stuff. So that's on my list of things to do. So I'll come with a better number for that at the next meeting. But you're right, the other thing, you know, I worked on this before before the storm. And line item 39, we programmed $80,000, and we've only spent $32,000 as of today. And so my initial thought was we could probably take $10,000 out of that because that was sufficiently high. Now I've changed my tune because we may need that material, that crushed stone budget to fix the road. So. I try to go through, if you look at sort of the sidebars, like for example, labor and benefits, it looks like we're going to come out maybe $7,000 that we'll have extra. Insurance went up quite a bit, so I met with Ellen today and I filled in everything that is final and done, so the $3,200 is a pretty firm number that we're over on insurance. It just went up too much. Let's see, total materials. The good news was we budgeted $55,000 for sand. We ended up buying half sand and half manufactured sand, and we came up with, we spent $54,684, so we were right. I don't know how we did it, we were right on. The other place we can cut is line 53. We bought all the chains we need this year, and we have tires for everything, so we can get through this fiscal year without having to replace tires. Art told me there's tires for the 550.
There are.
Yeah. So rather than buy new tires, we can put that off to next year. So I'm there's a savings of say $9,000. Blade shoes, rake teeth. We need to put
for maybe some for the York rake. We can probably
So in on that line item of $7,000, we've already spent $1,500. The biggest thing is I think one of the trucks Art drives needs a new cutting edge, but we can get those next fiscal year. So again, we could save like $5,500 there. So there is some savings in that. The only thing is high under 56 is radios and cell phones is quite a bit higher than we anticipated. So anyway, there may be like $13,000 left there. That one we sort of have control of. And if you go down to 109, then, you know, I discussed this before, we're $18,000 a hole on large equipment for our budget. But, you know, we decided to go ahead and fix that truck, so it'll just go up and we'll have to make it up in other places.
Well, I guess the point that I'm trying to make is that I understand full well you have to fix the roads, and I guess what concerns me more than anything is that we obviously are under budgeting. Yes. And it may be the vehicles aren't holding up like they ought to, or the equipment isn't, but the fact of the matter is we're under budgeting. And what's worse is next year we're under budgeted as well. So at some point, because we increased very few of these items mm-hmm. and decreased most of them,
yep.
and we can't keep running a deficit year after year.
Right.
It just doesn't fly.
Yep.
Well, wait a minute. So hang on a second. We've been running surpluses for quite a while.
Well, we didn't run a surplus last year.
We didn't. It was a small deficit. But that, as we discussed ad nauseum, was the result of the storm in 2017. That was we spent a lot of money on material and road repairs. So that, I mean, we had a lot of discussions about that and why that deficit occurred. And even with 160 some odd grand in spending, we still only ended up with a $28,000 deficit. So if we're, I think we need to be careful about saying we're under budgeting. I don't know that we're under budgeting consistently. We may be in a pickle this fiscal year, but that doesn't mean we have a pattern of under budgeting.
What I'm trying to say is that our maintenance costs are higher than we anticipated by a significant amount.
Yeah,
this year.
And they may continue to be because we're running these computer-driven trucks that do not seem to be holding up well. Now, perhaps we can find replacements for them that may hold up better. That is something that we will not know. But you cannot consistently run a $30,000 or $40,000 deficit. And we're showing right now a $30,000 plus deficit, and we've still got May, June to go. And so all I'm saying is we should be cognizant of that. We should try and not spend money where we don't have to necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
And because our budget figures for next year were no more generous than the ones for this year, we may find that we're in the same predicament next year. So putting off things until after this fiscal year may not be a very sustainable answer. That's all I'm saying. It's something we should all think about. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't dispute that. I think, but we need to get down to why we're running a deficit. We're citing some equipment issues, but if in the characterization of why we're running deficits, are they mostly attributable to planned events? That's going to happen, and that's exactly why we established the rainy day funds. And so the I think what I'm trying to say is that we need to be careful about concluding that we're already in some pattern of under budgeting when that may not be true. We may have a bad year here due to unplanned expenditures, and that is life. That is going to happen. And we figure out how to deal with it. And we try and figure out how we minimize the deficit. And that is exactly why one of the reasons why we created the Rainy Day Reserve Fund. I don't disagree either that we need to be mindful of what the FY20 budget is gonna look like, and whether we're going to get ourselves into any trouble in FY20. But I think we need to be careful about concluding that we have a pattern that's established. I'm not sure that's the case.
Well, I guess more to the point, we want to make sure that we don't make it a pattern.
Sure. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, and for example, under vehicles and large equipment, it always was $35,000. And we had some really good years, and we were like, oh boy, we're doing good. And we really probably should anticipate the trucks getting older and more problems and had bumped that up. But so we were being very optimistic on that. All in all, I guess what I'm trying to sort of look through and see is that we're still in good shape because we have revenue coming in, and if we worry about the bottom line, we're already going to transfer $15,000, and if we transfer the other $15,000 for the bridge, that infuses $15,000 into our because the numbers at the bottom are just reflections of what we spent out. I'm hoping, I don't think we're going to conclude any, but I just, I was hoping it'd be informative so people can look at it and pick it apart and ask questions and stuff. So, we're not in super bad shape. We're just going to have to be
careful.
Mindful. Yeah, we can't just, do things. And that's why I've suggested perhaps like chains. We've already bought the chains. We don't need to buy chains. In fact, we've got extra chains. We're not going to have to buy them July 1st or even next November. There's quite a pile of them. I don't know how many. There's quite a pile of them. It's like we got to maybe even have a year's worth to get us by next year. So that's for example.
If you potentially buy a new truck, would those chains be the same size on the new truck?
Yeah, it should be. Okay. Yeah, because they're 2,200.
It really wouldn't matter. They go through more than one set of chains a year, so they'd use them on the other two trucks anyway.
These trucks are 22s.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, the 10-wheelers would be 24s.
Well, so you would have to have chains.
Well, they'll be used on these trucks, but it would be a couple sets of chains.
It's not a big number, but it would be a different tire chain.
Yep. But we got two trucks.
Unless you told them you're going smaller.
Yeah, and again, we won't be buying chains for the bigger truck till next year. Anyway.
Right, right.
So anyway, I just put this together, and so people can take a look at it and just say, hey, we're doing really good or we're doing really bad. Maybe we need to trim here, trim there. And it's more informative than anything.
Are we done with this? Any other questions on fiscal budget?
Okay. By the way, there are copies of the budget we talked about up here on the table. I totally forgot to, if somebody wants a copy, there's two copies up here if you want to just look at them.
We have now scheduled an executive session to discuss the Purple Crayon settlement status and discussion. And we need a motion. Probably you're ready to do that, Scott?
Well, we also have employee reviews. Are we still doing that?
Yeah. Now my question is: Do we have two separate executive sessions?
We can. Oh boy, Mike. And
about to leave. You could prop
separate motions or same motion to two purposes.
You gotta do it. You just gotta find a way to do it just once, right?
Yeah.
You'd hate to come out of executive session
just to go back in. Right.
Well, can we just list both reasons?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that we're covered.
Yeah.
In both.
Yeah. Hang on.
Both are legitimate reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a two-part.
So I've looked them up, and so we need to. I move that we go into executive session pursuant to VSA 1313 1E. Is it 1E for?
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
One E for. Discussions, whatever's covered that. I looked it up. It's for the Purple Crayon appeal.
1E, pending probable, pending, actually, let me rephrase it. It's 1E, but it is actual litigation, pending litigation, to which the body is a party.
Right. So that's the Purple Crayon.
Yep.
And VSA 1... 313 3
for the purpose of discussing the employment or evaluation of an employee.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Okay.
We will be back out of executive session at some point. The only other things we have left to deal with are select board correspondence, review of assignments, and agenda for the next meeting. You're welcome to wait, and we'll tell you when we're done, we'll let you back in. But other than that, y'all have to leave. Thank y'all for coming.